Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Buzz, sponsored by BEvents.biz. I'm Monica Cornetti, and I want to let you know that BEvents, we're committed to helping you to be heard, be read, and be recognized. Jonathan Peters is on the call with us also this morning. He's one of the co-founders of BEvents, and we were just talking the other day about how, as our network expands, that we're getting the opportunity to meet so many different types of speakers who like Deborah, who's on the call with us today, we know each other from a number of different events and then doing some public seminar training, and then speakers in all different unique fields. And then what we're going to be talking about today, a focus today, is those of you on the call who also specifically are speaking to promote your business. And we have a special guest with us today. I'm so excited that Jeff Klein, Jeff's from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he's going to be covering what's called the Speaker Success Checklist. And I have actually just shared the checklist with us, and I missed that. So I will make sure you get that PDF of Jeff's checklist so that when you download the recording, then you'll have the checklist also. So each week, we at BEvents bring you this weekly teleconference because we know that those of you who take action, things will happen and you will be rewarded differently than the people who just talk about what they should be doing. And you've made a commitment to move your business forward by taking time away from anything else you could be doing, but instead you're making that choice to focus on your business. So I want to congratulate you for that. We have so many different types of resources at BEvents. We do this weekly program. We have curriculum, different audio recordings, and, of course, we have our Mega Weekends, which is a total immersion into the four primary areas of building your business, and that is your visibility, your profitability, your bookability, and your brand. And so we do a total immersion in that. We've got one coming up in Providence in September, then we'll be in Vegas in October, and Dallas in November. And Jeff is actually going to be one of our speakers at the Dallas Mega Weekend. And we have significant early bird registration discounts. So you can go to beevents.biz, and you're going to save yourself about 75% off the regular registration fee. So go ahead out there, invite a friend, pick the one you want to come to, and get your registration in before each of those expires. And I just want to encourage you to, as I say every week, continue to learn at the speed of instruction. When you get an opportunity to be learning something about growing your business, jump in on that and continue to learn at that speed, because successful people just do it. And today we're going to focus on developing that speaker checklist. I mentioned that Jeff Klein is from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he's going to share everything that you need in your toolkit to make speaking work for your business. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, everybody knows Jeff Klein. If you talk about speaking, Jeff is so well known in the community, and he has just received rave reviews speaking to trade associations, sales organizations, national conventions, corporate teams, business groups. He has a group called Speakers Co-op that has over 750 members, and it's comprised mainly of people who want to speak to promote their business, but there are others in there also, and we'll talk more about the co-op and the concept and how it's worked to help people to get the tools that they need to grow their business. So I'll let you know that we will open it up at the end of the call for general questions that you might have, anything that you would want clarified. So I have everyone muted right now, and I'll let you know when we can open that up and you can jump in and ask a question. So, Jeff, let's go ahead and get started. Thank you so much for being with us today and taking time from your Saturday.
I'm thrilled to be here, Monica. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, let's just start with a basic question. So
sure.
What's the difference between what you call business speaking and public speaking? How do we define the difference in those two?
Well, public speaking is actually a profession, and the National Speakers Association is the trade association that furthers the profession of public speaking. A lot of people think of it as motivational speaking or call it that, and a lot of professional public speakers are getting away from that term, motivational speaker. But business speaking is for the rest of us. We don't have a goal of being a public speaker or a famous message bringer, but we see that speaking can be a marketing tool for our business. So that's the separation.
Okay, so would someone who is a business speaker, would an organization like NSA be appropriate for them?
Actually, NSA would be great training for them because at the monthly meetings at NSA chapters all over the country, you get great education about how to be a great speaker. So I recommend NSA meetings to everybody. But the with speaking. Now, some of the meetings are more about info products and things that a business speaker might not be interested in. But so NSA is good training ground, but a business speaker is focused on driving clients into his business, and a public speaker gets paid to speak, has info products, has an education or consulting side of their business. Now, you and I both, through our businesses, promote business speakers using some of the public speaker tools, like info products and extra streams of revenue, which is important. But generally, the goal of a business speaker is to have clients show up at their door, and the goal of a public speaker is to speak.
Right. Okay, so let's just do some basics about that. Let's talk a little bit about speaker co-op. What prompted you to start that group? And let's define what speaker co-op is to everyone on the call, too. Would you do that for me, Jeff? Okay.
Sure. And I'll tell you how we started it, and then I'll tell you what we became.
Okay.
Almost six years ago, I was asked to sponsor a luncheon where another speaker was going to be the presenter, and I would get 5 minutes as the sponsor. And I said, sure. So I sponsored an architect's lunch, and the speaker was a guy I'd seen numerous times and was speaking to sell his book. That was his goal for speaking. And he and I chatted after the lunch and started talking about how we could get more speaking engagements. So we invited a couple other people to coffee and had a conversation. And I, sitting at the table, I said, well, why don't we can share referrals with each other. That's easy. Why don't we just start a monthly lunch and see what happens? So in January of 2006, we started the speaker co-op and had the first luncheon here in Dallas. And the mission of speaker co-op is to further the action of speaking as a business strategy. So we have monthly meetings where we provide education in both Dallas and Houston, and we're looking to expand to other cities. And we have a website that is a showcase for the people who speak for their businesses so they can be found by groups who they wouldn't otherwise be connected to.
Okay. So what if somebody wants to start speaking for their business? What would be some of the first steps they would do?
The first thing you want to do is look at what you can provide from the front of the room as value as a topic, because it doesn't necessarily have to be your profession. And sometimes if you're an accountant or a financial planner, your topics may not be that attractive to an audience if you call it, your finances or balancing your books or things like that. So you need to have an engaging topic so people will want you to come speak at their groups. And it could be something you're passionate about. It could be, you could be a photographer and you could do a twist on how photography and what you see through a lens equates to something about your business. There's all kinds of things you can do about your passion to turn it into a business talk.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at there is don't get locked into, I have to promote my business during my talk. Because one of the mistakes business speakers make is overselling when they're speaking. All you need to do as a business speaker is have a 20-minute talk where for 18 or 19 minutes you provide value or entertainment for the audience. And then for 1 minute, you say, by the way, I'm an engineer, and here's what my business does if you're interested in more information. Because what we do as speakers is we make the people in the room want to get more of us in whatever way mm-hmm. we can provide more.
So let me just clarify what you're saying there. Are you saying that if I'm going to speak to promote my business, I don't necessarily need to be speaking about what my business does during my speech? Is that
what
you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. That's a different spin.
So yeah,
then
well,
how
tie it,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you're gonna tie it together somehow, but you don't have to beat people over the head with your profession.
Right, right.
Me, Monica, are lucky that our profession has stuff in it that people want as information at a business meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody can say that. You know, a realtor can only talk about so many things to do with real estate before audiences aren't interested anymore. And, you know, if that realtor is a former military person, they could tie something together like that. Here's an example. We have a client who, in a past life, worked in Las Vegas and worked as a dealer and as a pit boss and things like that. So we helped him create topics that lead with lessons from Las Vegas. So
cool.
He talked about you know, how to negotiate with using examples and stories from his history in casinos. He talks about how to sell and how to prepare your business and how to use strategy, but it's all around stories that really happened to him in a casino.
That's good, and that would be very entertaining. People would enjoy that, I'm sure.
Right.
So then how do you that's good. So how would someone who wants to do this go about selecting the topics? And then the next question, let's move into it, is like, how would they find the groups to speak to then? So
okay.
Which do you do first? Which comes first, chicken or the egg? Topic or groups you're going to speak to?
Actually, those are steps 2 and 3 in the way I teach people how to monetize and really make business speaking work. Step 1 is, what are your goals as a business speaker?
Okay, good.
Is it specific clients? Is it products? How do you want people to engage with you? Then we do an exercise where you sit down and you brainstorm and you write down everything you know something about that you can talk about as an expert, or at least as an informed party, from all facets of your life, whether you're, you know, things about your passions and your hobbies, your business background, your personal background, your family background. Maybe you're maybe your family. I've got a client whose family has owned land in Texas since before there was a Texas, and we've used some of the ranch stories to tie people to his business. So everything that you can speak about intelligently, and then we talk about who you want to turn into customers, who your target prospects are. And then we start figuring out what topics those target prospects would be engaged with, would be interested in hearing, would be entertained by and get value from.
Okay.
And then
go ahead. Can you keep going down your list, or is that was steps 1, 2, and 3? What else? What would be next?
Once you identify who your target prospects are, then the question is, where do they hang out? What kind of groups do they belong to that have speakers? You know, if you find that your audience is, no matter what they do for a living, if you find that your audience is parents, then you could even have a talk for PTAs. If you find that your audience is primarily business owners and management, then there's dozens of Rotary chapters in every town in America. If you find that your audience is more salespeople and things like that, there's organizations that salespeople belong to. So there's always groups where your prospects are gathering. And so one leads into the other and feeds it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now, with the groups that we're going to present to then, so do you have a method that you teach people how to approach those groups and how to let them know?
We help folks it's called positioning. You know, create your platform and how are you positioned in the marketplace so that then you can create a one sheet, which is a standard thing in the speaking world, where that you send, it's got your picture and your topics and a little bio and some testimonials, and that's what you provide and send out to people you want to get in front of. Now, you don't just send it out willy-nilly. You call. There's a strategy around approaching groups and getting in touch with people. And as a business speaker, one of your goals for your speaking engagement is that each engagement should lead to at least one more engagement, because everybody in those rooms belongs to more than one group. So you and
right.
I experience that. When we speak, you know, we get other speaking engagements just because we're in the room presenting.
Right, which is always one of my objectives at the front of the room is to – I have a percentage of the room that I want to inquire, you know, ask me to come speak to their group. I have a percentage in the room that I've determined that I want them to want to connect with me to be on my newsletter list, which I want to come back to newsletters in just a minute. Percentage in the room that's going to buy the product. And I guess if you're a business speaker then, because I always say, you know, never, ever, ever get to the front of the room without something to sell in the back of the room. So as a business speaker, does that still hold true?
It depends on the business speaker. You and I both recommend that people, if they don't have something, they create something to sell from the back of the room, because it's an opportunity. Otherwise, it's a missed revenue opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if the goal is to get clients, then whatever your back of the room product is, it should be something that engages on that level. You know, that drives people towards being a client, as opposed to just here's information about gambling.
right. And that, I think, ties right in with what we did a session. It was just last week on creating info products. And my biggest thing on that is that there's no one right or wrong thing to be selling. And if what you're selling, quote unquote, is an appointment to move them closer to being your client, then that is back of room. And then you want a percentage of people to actually take that step. And in sales, we just keep looking to move them to the next level. You know, okay, what's the next step we want them to take? We don't have to have them in our room and then all of a sudden signing up to be a long-term client or whatever it is you're selling. It'd be nice. We certainly wouldn't be opposed to that, but
sure.
Really just moving them to the next step.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
Important. Yeah.
So then I noticed on the speaker's checklist that you do have mentioned that there should be an e-newsletter. So you like that as a form of communication then?
I think that any business person who's trying to generate revenue for their business who doesn't have an e-newsletter is missing the boat. It's too easy to do to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's my feeling. I mean, you know, a lot of what happens, Monica, or a lot of what I'm doing now with the Speaker Co-op and the Speaking as a Business Strategy Education came from 7 years of doing things right and wrong as a business speaker. You know, we're told as kids, you know, learn from your mistakes, and I believe in that, but I also believe that it's a lot less painful if you learn from other people's mistakes. So, you know, I've made mistakes as a business speaker that I now teach people not to do. Other people we know have made those mistakes. I mean, I've got a colleague who has sold over 100,000 books, but his list for his e-newsletter is somewhere around 5,000. And to me, that's a crime, because one of the things you and I both teach is making sure that we get the names of the people in the room when we speak. And their email.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that a checklist like what you have is so essential, because even when we do this all the time, it's easy to forget things. Like I have this checklist every time I go out to make sure that I've got the right signage or even the little labels that say autographed by author to put on the book when someone buys your book. It's those things that just, it's little things, but it's essential when you're going out to speak that you have that. And one of the things that people forget to do is get the names of the people that are sitting in their room and capture contact information so that if someone loves you in that room, they will want more of you. So staying connected with them by providing information, asking how you can help them to make their business more successful, just providing that extra added value. But you can't do it if you don't gather their contact information. So, yeah, it's a key component.
Do it. Yeah. If you know, I always do a door prize and I pass the bucket to get everybody's business card.
Yeah.
But my agreement with the organizer of the group is that I'm going to leave the room with everybody's email address.
Good.
And that comes from having made a mistake. I went to I once was booked to speak at a large chamber here in the DFW area, and there were over 120 people at the lunch, and I was just ecstatic to be in, you know, in that size room, and they gave away their door prizes with raffle tickets. So they never got business cards.
Right.
I left that room with half a dozen contact info, people's contact info instead of 120.
Right. That hurts.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I used the speaker's letter of agreement that we have available for folks as well, because it says on there, I will get everybody's email address.
Yeah.
Now, when you're paying me to speak, that can be, you know, if you say we're paying you, we don't want you to gather cards, we can negotiate about that. But as a, when we're doing the business speaking and the only pay is lunch, you know, that's one of the things I require from the room.
And you put that in your letter of agreement. It's part of the deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to what you just said. As a business speaker, if I'm going out to speak to promote my business, can I expect that these are all going to be no-fee speaking gigs, or can I get paid for doing this?
You can get paid. Once you're in a position where people call you and say, we heard you were a speaker and we want you to speak, the first question you should ask, or one of the first questions besides the where and when, but I would ask this even before that, is what is your speaker fee, or what do you pay your speakers?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the answer is we don't pay our speakers, then that's up to you to what you do next. But there are lots of groups that have honorariums that have budgets to pay $100, $200 for a speaker, and if you don't ask for it, they will keep that money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's so that is such a great thing, because it's such a neat idea to be thinking that you're out there advertising your business, so you're advertising and you're getting paid to advertise. So it's such a fantastic tool to connect with, instead of doing the onesie-twosies that take, you know, you can take an hour and talk to one person, or you can take an hour and talk to 120, which is a better use of your time. Now, are you going to convert 120? Probably not. But what if you got even 5%, 10%? It's just such a better use of your time. And I always like to bring it back to that so few people want to do this. You know, you've heard the statistic, Jeff, that the number one fear is speaking and the number three fear is dying. So if you take that literally, that means that people would rather be in the coffin than having to deliver the eulogy at a funeral, because,
yeah.
So if it's that big a fear and so many people don't want to do it, what a neat positioning for you in your business to decide, I'm going to get good at this. I'm going to get some great topics. I'm going to learn how to have great platform presence. I'm going to learn the strategies of persuasion that will touch people and motivate them to move to that next step. And it's an investment of time. It's some investment of money too, because I would recommend that you get some coaching on it, because it'll help save you a lot of time in getting better. You know, no need to take it the long way. Go ahead and save yourself a lot of time. Like you said, Jeff, it's easier to learn from other people's mistakes than doing it yourself. So it would be an investment, but think about what the payoff will be from it. So when you're looking at – go ahead.
Sorry. One of the really beautiful things about business speaking is you have instant credibility by being introduced as today's speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You are the expert.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the, it's one of those unique things that if you're in the front of the room, people see you as the expert. That's why we talk about be heard, be read, be recognized, because if you're speaking, you're establishing yourself as the expert. If you're published, you've established yourself as the expert. Other people see you that way. So it does help differentiate you from the competitor because it gives you a leg up on them. So let's talk about the whole nervousness thing and people's fear of speaking. What are some things that you teach them to help alleviate that?
I can't recommend Toastmasters highly enough as a place to go to overcome the fear of public speaking. That if you are not ready to get in front of the room, then Google Toastmasters and go to a meeting, because that's what their whole mission is overcoming that fear. But as a person who's, you know, relatively comfortable and ready to go, the number one thing about not being nervous is being prepared. But I also have a tip that I love to offer that my dad, may he rest in peace, taught me that has always been beneficial to me. And that is to take a deep breath before you start speaking. Now, what's funny is people will take a deep breath and then let it all out and then start talking. No, the key is to take a nice, good, deep breath and use that breath to begin your talk.
Huh.
You will be amazed at how much energy you have with that, using that oxygen and having that air in your body.
Yeah. So when you're getting with new speakers, you do recommend that they get involved in a Toastmasters group as a place to start getting good on their feet and learning the tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing about Toastmasters is just being comfortable standing up and talking about whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have programs to help people figure out what they're going to talk about. But what's funny is when we started the speaker co-op, I assumed the people who would be drawn to us and come into the room were already prepared to speak or were already speaking. And what I found was we had people coming who aspired to speak, but who were in no way prepared to stand up and talk. It's fine. We love having all kinds of people in the room. I was just surprised that came about. And it's just because there are people who are drawn to being the expert, but they're just not ready yet to get in front of the room. And those are the folks we send to Toastmasters.
Yeah, that's good. So when you're thinking about, let's go through back to this list again. How important are the topic names themselves? I mean, we've selected some topics. How important is that name? Do you put a lot of emphasis on that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how people might first hear about you. If you have a website like speakercoop.com, when there's a list of speakers, 100 speakers with at least 3 topics each, you have to have a topic that rises to the top to get people's attention. So, you know, topic names like, best business practices, that isn't going to really get people's attention. A name like Do This or Fail, you know, that'll probably get people's attention. I'm not sure I do that
right.
Topic.
That's good. That's good.
So a topic, it's like a product name. The name of the product is very important.
Yeah. So I always say, and Kevin's on the call with us today, and he has, Kevin specializes in government contracting, and unfortunately right from the beginning, you know, it's like, oh, well, I really want to learn about government contracting. It sounds like it's a little difficult and a little dry, and so I kept working with Kevin. I kept saying to him, you know, Kevin, your titles are just not sexy enough. You got to make them sexy. You got to, because when you, like, especially because he does a lot of different trade associations, so he needs to get people to choose his breakout session. It's so neat to be selected by a trade association when you're a subject matter expert, when you're this person who could bring real value to their group, and you get chosen to be one of their speakers. That's just the very, very first step. Now you got to figure out how you're going to get the people that are attending to choose your session. Because that's the only way it's, you know, I've had so many speaker friends that they thought it was, you know, they were going to a big trade association or some kind of convention, and then they end up having, you know, 17 people in their room, and the could have fit 100 or 150. And so people have to, it has to, I always think it has to attach to their, I always make it about a heart issue, because all buying decisions are based on emotion. So to choose to listen or choose to have you as a speaker, that's going to be an emotion that has to happen. And so that topic, based on some fear, like I love topics like the 5 mistakes all banks make with your money. I mean, you know, who wouldn't go to that, right? All banks make these mistakes. Well, I need to, you know, and so for a financial planner to have topics like that, that will draw people to them. So how do you work on topic titles, though? What do you recommend? How do you know if it's sexy? How do you know if it's going to grab somebody?
You can obviously bounce it off your close, you know, associates, but I think you need to bring a creative person into the fold for stuff like that, whether it's you or me or somebody else. I mean, you know, for example, which is more interesting? How to get more out of your Chamber of Commerce membership, or this title, Chamber of Commerce, Plaque on the Wall, or Source of Revenue?
Right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. You know, that,
so give that to us again. Give that to us again so we can hear it one more time, because that's a great example.
The not good one is how to get more out of your Chamber of Commerce membership. The sexy title is called Chamber of Commerce, Plaque on the Wall, or Source of Revenue.
Yeah, excellent. Very good. Which, by the way, for people on the call, that is one of Jeff's speech topics. And it's a great one, yes. So that's
breakout,
very, very good.
People come to that breakout because of that title. Now, the other thing about getting people to come to your breakout is you also need a pretty sexy, compelling 2-sentence bio introduction about yourself that goes right after the topic title in that kind of setting. You know, you
so
need
that people
to
understand that you are worth listening to?
Right. Well, you're the product as when you're speaking. Until you talk about, you know, whatever it is you're driving people to in your business, as the speaker, you are the product. And people don't always think that way or realize that.
Right. Right, right. That's good.
Yeah, that's why you have to have multiple ways to introduce yourself. You need to have that 2-sentence bio that goes on the program for the event. You need a bio that goes out, that the group emails out to promote your speaking at their lunch. And you need a separate and different printed introduction for the person who's leading the meeting to use before you speak. Your introduction before you speak is not your bio that is published on your website or even was sent out to promote your talk. It's part of the whole process of making you the expert and having people want to get more out of you to have a separate introduction that they read so people are ready to learn from you right there at that moment.
That's good. Let's break that down a little bit further. So let me ask you first, you mentioned a bio on your website. So should a business speaker have, I'll call it a speaker website, would it be part of their regular website, or would they make a, how would that work? What do you recommend for that?
A lot of that depends on their strategy. Yes, they need a web presence as a business speaker. Whether it's a separate site or a page on their site has to do with what they're promoting, how many other things they're selling besides what they sell when they speak, and things like that. At a minimum, they should have a speaker page on their business website. If they're the business owner, that's probably the easiest and smartest thing to do is just have, you know, book Bob to speak or something at Bob's Builder website. Start having info products, and when you get to the point as a business person where you're being called on to provide more education, that may not be something you ever thought of as part of your business, which is what happened to me, then you need a separate site that's about your speaking and your education around that, so people aren't confused about Jeff the speaker versus Jeff the ad guy, which is what I used to be. So yes, you need
right.
a web page of some sort. You need web presence. You need to be, you need to have a speaking page on Facebook and a speaking listing at speakerclub.com and a speaker page on your website.
Right.
So that people can see your topics.
Good. Now, especially I think I've been, I spoke with a woman last week and she, for example, she coaches speakers and she said what her biggest niche is that's coming in to work with her to become business speakers right now is attorneys. And I've seen more of that also, and I think that's a great example of, so here's someone who's already considered an expert. We kind of put attorneys into their own separate category, and then to have that, this is my specialty area. I mean, like you and I both know an attorney, I guess I can mention her name, Lori Birch in Dallas. She's an awesome speaker. She's so funny. And she talks, her topic is wills and dying. Could you get any more morbid? And when you see her speak, she makes it so lighthearted. And then, she'll tell some stories that, those are the tough stories of things that happen to people because they did not have their documentation in place. And then, but she makes it, and there's a lot of lighthearted fun. And so she's positioned herself very successfully in the Dallas marketplace as an attorney who knows about wills and estate planning and all the medical stuff that you have to do. And then to hear her speak is so entertaining. There is barely a group that I could think of that she wouldn't be an appropriate fit for, because we all need to know that information. So
she always gets bookings from when she speaks. She always gets extra bookings because she's so entertaining.
Right, right. And, yeah, that's a great example of why you'd want to have that web presence, because people already see you as the expert. And then, you also speak on this. We could invite you into our group for that. So that's really good. Now, you mentioned about having your bio on the website, so I understand that. Now, your introduction for what you want them to say is right before you come up. What are some tips you can give us about what we should put in our introduction? What do we want to make sure is said about us?
You want to have something that positions you as an expert, but you also want to have something that's more fun and personal in your introduction. So something that you do as a hobby, or someplace you're passionate about volunteering for, or that you are a parent of three kids or whatever, in the middle of that little – and introductions are short. We're talking about one paragraph, maybe two at the most. You want to have – something that's, an example of why you're an expert, and very often it's useful to throw out names of clients if you've worked for Fortune 500. American Airlines thinks that Jeff knows about X, Y, and Z. That'll get people to listen to your talk, right?
Right.
And then something personal to make you real and relatable. And sometimes we have introductions, a different introduction for each talk, so that you refer to some of the education you're going to give during your talk, so you don't start your talk by introducing yourself. You have somebody else doing it for you. Here's why this person is here as an expert, and
right.
Now we're going to get to listen to them. So they're an expert, person.
Yeah.
They do real person things. And we're going to learn something today.
Yeah. It also is good because what it does is that it reinforces that the people sitting in the room made a wise choice to come to that today. So it helps to also reinforce that they're smart people making smart decisions. And so they can feel good about, I'm glad because I have like 16 million other things I could have been doing. So this is really going to be a worthwhile thing for me. So it really sets that up to just people really have an opportunity now to make the most of that time together. That's great.
And you're more professional when somebody is reading a separate sheet of paper with your introduction, as opposed to them picking up the program for today's event and just reading what everybody already has in front of them. Or even worse, and I've got people doing this, and we just keep telling them it's a bad idea, they're holding a smartphone reading the bio off of the person's website because the person who's speaking handed them the smartphone to read it. And that just doesn't look like you're prepared to be there.
Right, right. I think that's one of the things that this is also a place where you'd want to bring a creative person in to help you make it, you know, just how can we lighten this up a little bit? How can this be funny? One of the best I've heard, and you know her, Kristen Cashin. She's a member of the NSA in North Texas. She's just hysterically funny. And part of her intro is something like, if Christine looks familiar to you, it's because you may have seen her on Oprah. And then there's a pause, like, wow, Christine was on Oprah. And then it says something like, yeah, she was third row from the back on the right-hand side. You know, it was like she was just sitting. But it's hysterical because it catches you, and it just sets it up that, you know, this is going to be a fun time. This is that we're going to be entertained. Christine is a top-notch speaker, and so it's, I think that we as speakers do not put enough emphasis on what that intro's purpose is. Yeah.
And you can't do that with the bio. That's something you can only do with a read aloud introduction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Printed in
very
big
good
font. Print it in a big font. And when I email my introduction to the person that books me, but I also bring a hard copy with me in case they don't.
Right, that's on my checklist that I take. Intro, you know, check, because you don't want to get there and then not have their copy that you sent them. Oh, I forgot to bring it. Do you have one with you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. So, yeah, that's good. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see business speakers making?
The some of the things we've already talked about, the not being prepared, the not gathering names
before
you leave the room. But also, people don't always remember what you want them to remember, including who the heck you are. If you're speaking and you don't have a handout that has your contact information on it, not an order form, but something about your talk, you're also missing the boat. To me, the number one mistake any speaker can make is going long. Is having the facilitator standing next near, as get inching closer and closer to you as a hint to get off the stage.
They're starting to remove that hook from their back pocket.
Right, and it is, and I've been that facilitator, and it's not fun, and it doesn't leave a good impression at all.
Yeah.
So have a timer, whatever kind of way you need a timer. You need to have a timer with you so you don't go long in your talk.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So I want to open it up for questions in just a minute, but before I do that, is there anything that, like, you know, a most important thing or something that I haven't asked you that you would want to make sure that we're covering so that I don't miss it? Is there anything that I haven't?
I think that one of the things that comes with this, just like anything else, Monica, is the opportunity to have your own little community or your own little mastermind. If you're on the path to being a business speaker, pick a couple of other people who are already doing it or thinking about doing it that you guys can work together to make all of your business speaking better. And then, of course, the other one that you and I advocate in a big way is bring in the experts for the things that you're not best at.
That's good. Now, let me just touch back on Speaker Co-op real quickly. What is the website for Speaker Co-op? Can you give that to us?
You bet. SpeakerCoop.com.
Now, is that co-op with, is there a hyphen there, or is it just COOP?
COOP, Speaker Co-op, no S, SpeakerCoop.com,
okay.
SpeakerCoop.com.
Yeah, Speaker Coop. Okay, SpeakerCoop.com. Okay.
And there's links there to our monthly meetings and our meetup group. There's information there about how to become an advertiser so people can find you and your topics. And then there's also a resources page, which is where you are, Monica, on our resources for speakers page.
Right.
For speakers to get more. help with their business speaking. And I do want to say, this is probably a great time to say it, Monica, I am really, really excited that we are now partnering together, that the Speaker Co-op and the events are working together, and you and I plan to keep doing it. We have nothing but the highest limits in our goals for helping folks as business speakers, and doing it together is going to just exponentially help both of our communities. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I believe so too. Now, let me ask this. You have a group in Dallas. You've gotten a group started in Houston.
Right.
You're looking at starting in Austin?
Correct. Yeah, we're looking at getting Austin started probably in the fall. And we love, you know, Austin is convenient, it's close, but it's also a really dynamic city. And we're open to folks, you know, working with us to start Speaker Co-op monthly meetings in other cities as well.
Yeah, that's great. Now, if I was a speaker on this call, because we've got speakers literally from all over the country on the call, can they still list themselves, the people who come looking for speakers at your website, are they just from the DFW area?
No, because it's on the internet, you know, we're attracting people from all over, and people are getting the free gigs, and they're getting paid gigs, paid engagements through speakercoop.com. So it's $99 a year to list on the website. So as a business speaker, it's kind of a no-brainer to have another place to add your topics and your name and your contact information onto Google, frankly. And so there's no limitation as far as geography when it comes to that.
Good, good. So just to reinforce that with everybody, that it, Jeff, the organization is based in Dallas, but people are coming there because it is a web-based the site, that people are coming from all over and looking for speakers. So you do not have to be based in Dallas to be listed on that site. So take a look at it. Jeff's done an awesome job of pulling this all together, and it's just grown so much. I mean, that accomplishment alone shows and it verifies the value that it's bringing to people, because if it wasn't bringing that value, there's just no way it would have grown like it has. And in this time, in this economy, you know, you still have, I mean, I know in the fall you're going to be busting out probably at least 75 at every of those monthly luncheons. And to get that kind of consistency of people who want to stay connected and help each other grow their business is a phenomenal occurrence. Really should be, you should feel really good about that. I want to congratulate you for that. I know it's been a lot of hard work. I know you've, you know, it's a commitment on your part, and it's really helping a lot of people. So let me go ahead and do this. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions. So that's you hit *6. Do you have a specific question you want to ask Jeff? Just go ahead and hit *6 on your phone.
Jeff, Timothy Hartwell, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Timothy, good to talk to you.
So can you address a little bit, how does a person know how much to begin charging as a business speaker?
That's a loaded question, Timothy, but it's an important one. There are some things, you know, people talk about all kinds of talks. There's keynotes and there's breakouts and there's workshops and there's all kinds of things like that. And it depends on, you know, is it an hour talk? Is it a 45-minute talk? I mean, I've been paid $1,000 for a 45-minute talk at a luncheon, okay? So you set your value when it comes to pricing. And just like anything else in pricing strategy, if you set it too low, you have no value. So you need to actually, that I can't give you a one answer, but you need to sit down with somebody like me or Monica or a member of NSA and have the conversation about what they started charging and what they're charging now. But it's also okay to say to a group that calls you, I charge $250 for my 20-minute talk. I charge $500 for my talk. And then it's a negotiation if they want to do that or if they don't. Is that helpful enough to without being standing firm on a number?
No, I think that's a good point, is that you set your own value, and I've also heard of different instances where some groups don't necessarily pay for speakers to come in, but then if you have product to sell, then maybe you can work something that way.
Right. Well, and as a free speaker, or as if you're speaking for no fee as a business speaker, you always get to promote what you're doing. Just don't over-promote. But the other side of that is, as you can also get creative. A group may have a speaker budget that's X and a training budget that's Y. And if you're selling a book or a CD, you might be able to get paid under the training budget by selling a, by having them buy a book for every attendee.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, this is Ernestine Cohn. I'm in California.
Good morning, Ernestine.
Hey. I want to thank you for mentioning Toastmasters. I am one myself. And we have groups in Toastmasters that allow you to practice your 20-minute speech, whereas in most of the clubs you're limited to 5 to 10 minutes or at most, but there are specialty clubs that do that. And even the most polished speaker does ums and ers and can use what they learn at Toastmasters.
Absolutely. So, you have a question as well?
I think your talk has been very comprehensive. I'm looking forward to doing some talks on business overhead expense and long-term disability as soon as I can figure out a sexy title for it.
Okay. Yeah, we have a master's group here in Dallas. It's called ProSpeak, and those are actually people who aspire to be public speakers. And Toastmasters does that all over the world as well. So that's good stuff.
Yeah, we have one in Oakland.
Yeah. Super.
So, thank you for the good presentation.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ernestine.
You're welcome.
Does anybody else have a question? You can't stump me, I promise.
If you hit star 6, you can come on in and ask a question.
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
And
hey, Kevin, I got a question.
Well,
hello? Hold on, Wes.
Cleveland first.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
That's okay.
I'm Ilinda, and my speech is on relationships. I'm a relationship expert, and I have a book called If I'm Looking for a Prince, Why Am I Still Kissing Frogs? Now, my concern is that I'm also often asked to speak in corporate America. So how do I just my niche as speaking to women's groups and things like that, or do I have sexy topics for business that are related to relationships?
Well, you have an opportunity to use sales versus use dating as a sales analogy.
All right.
Salespeople all have to kiss a lot of frogs before they find their prince as well.
Oh, great. Oh, that's a great, that's just an eye-opener right there.
Well, you're welcome.
That's good. Thank you for asking, Linda. Thank you. That's great.
Yes.
Who is the other gentleman?
All right. Hey, it's Kevin again. How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
I'm a simple guy, and I like to keep it simple. However, I deal with a complex and sometimes dreadful and boring topic. So, and thanks to Monica, she reminded me on numerous occasions to have something sexy. But just offhand, how off base would you want to get with a topic? You know, not get distasteful or questionable, but when you give out a topic or what have you, how far would you go?
Well, you don't have to be off base to be compelling or sexy. Here's the way to get to an engaging topic title with whatever you're talking about. Think about what it is that your prospect customer has pain around that you solve, that you alleviate, and have the title be safety around hitting them in the gut with solving that pain. So remind me of what your area is again, Kevin.
Government contracting.
Government
small businesses seek out federal, state, and local bids and proposals.
Got it. Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with that. I'm very familiar with that. So, you know, how to work with the biggest customer in the world.
Okay. I can tell you a pain for a lot of clients is the fact that it's so time-consuming. So my angle has been the speed angle. Hey, look, do this, bam, cut down your time.
Okay. That, see, I would have that as more part of the subtitle.
Okay. Do that as a subtitle. Alrighty.
Maybe it would. I would. I'd have to noodle it a little, but I think if you go after the, you know, the obviously the dollar signs is what you're going after there. But the prospect, the process of how it's a pain, is let what you want to deliver is your value. But to get people into the room, you've got to entice them with the benefit.
Yeah,
I see.
That's good.
I see.
Just as a little aside, Kevin's his book's going to be published relatively soon, and I believe the title of his book is Cutting the Red Tape. Is that correct, Cutting the Red Tape?
Yes, that's it, Cutting the Red Tape.
Yeah.
Now, we need a good subtitle with that, in my opinion.
Did you have a subtitle with it, Kevin?
The Definitive Guide to Federal, State, and Local Government Contracting.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I do like Jeff's idea of, you know, winning the biggest customer. Yeah, that's we could punch the words a little bit more. That's just, you know, first time around. But that's a really good concept. Very good. Very good.
Very good indeed. It's got my wheel spinning, so yes.
That's good. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Do we have time for one quick question if anybody's got one?
Okay, Jeff, go ahead. Let me just ask you to remind people, how can people get in touch with you? I know they could do it through the Speaker Co-op site.
Right, speakercoop.com. The page with my this Speaking as a Business Strategy education is at tinyurl.com/Jeff's strategy. tinyurl.com/Jeff's strategy. So there's two S's in the middle there.
Okay.
And that,
and is that strategy is plural or strategy single?
Strategy singular.
Okay, strategy. Okay. All right.
And that's where we can find out about the 8-week program, Speaking as a Business Strategy, which is one-on-one. And we've just launched our group program, which is for six people. It's a 6-month program with 3 calls a month.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. So if anyone, if you were unclear, if we didn't get that, you know, go ahead and you've got my email. Email me. Also, I will be sending everyone out the copy of the Speaker Success Checklist that Jeff provided for us. And if you are a member of the Hive, you'll get a recording of today's session. So you'll be able to walk back through it and review the information again, because oftentimes I'll be talking to somebody and I'll say, you know, I need to go back because Jeff said something really good about XYZ, and I need to go hear that again because I need to make sure I get that in my brain. And so you'll, if our member of the Hive, you'll get that recording. We do have a community that you can join with B Events, and you can just go out to beevents.biz and then /the Hive, and you can get the information on becoming a member there. And we have a LinkedIn group. We've got a Facebook page. So go ahead and connect with us. We always have helpful tools and tips and techniques. Again, this call is just one of the examples of things that we bring to you to help you to continue to take your business step by step by step by step to the next levels that you want to get to. Next week, we have Sherry Darden on the call with us. Sherry is the business plan lady, and she has just awesome strategies for marketing and positioning yourself in the marketplace. So she'll be doing some work with how to market your business successfully next week. So you'll want to tune in for that. Like I said, we have our registration open for our B-Event Mega Weekends. You can get the information out at beevents.biz. Take advantage, save some money, and join us. Let's get immersed together on taking our businesses to the next level. And any questions that you have, feel free to contact us. And just go out there and have a great week, everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Monica.
Thanks, Jeff.